The Ghost Goal Podcast.
Arsenal and Liverpool's title hopes were flipped on their head over the weekend, before both Arsenal and Manchester City's European hopes ended this midweek. Manchester City launched to the top of the table with a 5-1 win over Luton, before crashing out of the Champions League, losing to Real Madrid on penalties at the Etihad this time. Meanwhile, Arsenal lost to Aston Villa over the weekend in the Premier League to give up their top spot in the league, before losing 1-0 at Bayern Munich to send them out of the Champions League. And finally, Liverpool, surprised by Crystal Palace, losing 1-0 at Anfield over the weekend. And while not completely out of Europe, trailing 3-0 behind Atalanta with an away date in the Europa League in Italy coming on Thursday. I'm Alex, here with Javier. Welcome to the Ghost Goal Podcast, episode 448. Javier, should I even ask how you're doing? Do you want to get straight into, you know, the Arsenal side of this?
No. I think
it's only fair. You're the only one of these two teams that's lost, you know, both, or these three teams total, Liverpool, Arsenal, and Manchester City, that lost both in the league.
It's been a rough few days, Alex. I'm not going to lie and say that I wasn't very down, especially for some reason I was much more down about the Villa game. It felt like that game in the first half was going to be, you know, our game. The goal was coming. And right at the end of that half, basically when the entire half had just been going our way and we'd been getting chance after chance and missing, and Martinez had made some good saves, you know, Watkins just runs down the field and hits the post. And everyone just, like, froze, like, oh, my God, we almost just went down 1-0 after, like... And for some reason, like, the stadium, like, got quiet, like, everyone got nervous, it, like, changed the whole mood. And then the half ended 0-0, and we came out, and we were, like, I mean, I think you texted me this, scared. Yeah, scared. We were, like, scared as soon as we came out in that second half, stopped trying to, you know, attack like we were in the first half. And it really just, it felt like the Villa goal was coming almost, and it hadn't really felt that way ever in a long time, honestly, since December, when we had that bad run of games where, you know, we were like, I think, fourth or fifth, and it looked like we were going to be fighting for a top four. You know, there was no discussion of a title race back in December. Like, I want to put this season into perspective, because earlier in the season, we weren't talking about Arsenal as title contenders, you know, in November and in December.
That's, you know, bullshit. We weren't. You guys challenged for the title the previous season. Everyone knew you just were rounding into shape. And honestly, it was one of the criticisms I had of Arsenal last year coming into this season, was that they weren't peaking at the right time. And so far this season, it seemed like while you weren't amazing at the start of the season, you rounded into form around New Year after that bad run, started demolishing bad teams and some good ones as well, in Liverpool and West Ham, with big margins of victory over them. But you just always know with this Arsenal team, even if it seems like they're rounding into form at the right time of the year, the fans, the coach, the players, when the chips are finally down at the end of the season, so far, and this is all I'm saying, and it's informed my decision when making predictions on this Arsenal team, so far, there cannot be an argument made other than that they're bottle jobs. They're choke artists. They're perfectly able to win these games. I picked them to beat Bayern Munich tonight. Even after the 2-2, I was still thinking about Arsenal. I don't like feel like I can trust them to do it, but they definitely have the talent to go in and beat a team like Bayern Munich, especially the way Munich have been playing this season. But you could just see, like, the fear. It was similar to that Aston Villa game. The fear was, like, just set in across that team as soon as things weren't, like, immediately going the way they're supposed to. And that's on Arteta. It's also on the players. Yeah, it's
well, that's not what really happened in the Bayern game. I mean, are you talking about the Bayern game as well here? Because I was going to say,
so I'm talking about both
the Villa game. No, in the Villa game, I was so down because of the way that second half.
Both teams were very cautious. I think we played better.
I was going to say, I think we played better in the second in this Bayern game today that we're recording. You know, I thought that in the first half we were better than Bayern. Had a lot of good sequences of play. Got into their box. Martinelli had a good chance and I would say two pretty good chances. One where he dribbled by like three players and like could have gotten a shot off, but shifted it to try to get it on his right instead of just like toe poking it with his left. And then the defender cut it out. And then the other one was when he got it like in, you know, at the top of the box by himself and he just hit it straight at Neuer. You know, he could have either taken a touch, he had time, or he could have, you know, slotted that either side and he just hits it straight at him. You know, that was the best chance of the first half.
But the fact that we go from thinking, or both of us even like predicting, I remember saying when previewing the two legs of that Bayern Munich Champions League quarterfinal, saying you guys needed like a decisive victory in the first leg at home, because the second leg in Munich, you guys don't really do as well away in Europe. You know, you have the loss to Porto, the loss to Lens in the first
half of the season. Well, I was about to say, just we came from last season, Alex, just last season and the seasons before that, right?
Agreed.
Arsenal were finishing eighth place, no Europe, losing in the Champions or in the quarterfinals of the, or no, was it the round of 16? No, it was the quarterfinals of the
Europa
League. No, it was the Europa
round of 16. It was the first round of the knockout round of the
Okay,
Europa
first
League.
Round of the knockout round of the Europa League. We went from losing in the first round of the Europa League to getting to a Champions League quarterfinal and almost going through against Bayern Munich. And we didn't collapse away from home. We conceded an awful goal where you know, a deflected Raya cross.
You're cherry picking here, because you can flash back to preseason. Like, yes, preseason wise, you could think, okay, Arsenal getting through a quarterfinal and losing a close game to Bayern Munich, not that bad. But then you go back 2 weeks ago when the two of us were previewing this game, we were both saying Arsenal are absolutely good enough to beat this Bayern Munich team. This Bayern Munich team have been shambolic at the back. They're 16 points.
Well, they
points
weren't
behind
in this tie,
Bundesliga.
Though. They weren't in this tie. They weren't shambolic at the back.
Well, they
were really,
for a
really
period
solid.
Of the
they
first
played.
Game.
They played so well. Listen, I don't understand how they're. I mean, Joshua Kimmich is an unbelievable player. Him and De Ligt were impeccable in De Ligt, Goretzka, Leimer.
Eric Dier some credit for the second leg,
yeah,
specifically.
I mean, this Bayern Munich team is very, very good in the Champions League because, you know, they have the attacking players to hurt you. You see how good players like Leroy Sané, Jamal Musiala, Harry Kane, you know, Gnabry, even Guerrero when he came in this one, he was, you know, fantastic as well. I mean, they have unbelievable players. It seems like they just underperformed a little bit in the league, but also Bayer Leverkusen had an incredible season. They're unbeaten still in all competitions, like,
and officially wrapped up Bundesliga this past weekend.
Right, you can't.
That's honestly probably what put Bayern over the edge, and it's why when anyone, I mean, I'll use you as an example because we're talking about Arsenal. But when you're talking about this is the season we get revenge on Bayern, I'm looking at like the other factors and seeing, you know, it just so happens that Bayern may lose the Bundesliga for the first time in 12 years the weekend in between the two Arsenal legs. Like, you can't plan for that ahead of time. You don't know who you're going to be playing in the knockouts, what's going to be going on in their league, what could be motivating them in a specific first or second leg. And it just so happens Bayern Munich came into this match, you know, pissed off and looking to right some wrongs that they've been having a few too many of this season. So, that being said, though, I feel like you still have to be disappointed because this was probably the best chance you'll have at beating a Bayern Munich team that, you know, you look at both sets of squads. I mean, maybe in the attacking areas,
there's
some players.
I don't agree with
that.
I mean, I think we obviously have a huge room. We have huge room for improvement. You know, in this game, we started Jorginho in midfield. That can be improved upon. We started Kai Havertz at 9. That can be improved upon. We started Tomiyasu at left back. That can be improved upon.
You literally sent to our group chat before the game that
this was
like
our
the
best
ideal
lineup. Yes,
lineup
this is our best lineup right now. I'm saying we can get better players. There's clear like upgrades where we can upgrade in this squad.
So you're not disappointed?
No, I mean I am. Of course I'm disappointed. What I'm most upset about or annoyed about in this is that, like you said, that it felt like there was an opportunity and we should have tried to take it, get to a Champions League semifinal. This was a great opportunity to get a Champions League semifinal. And we didn't take it. It felt like in that second half, we didn't really go for it. The fact that we brought on Eddie Nketiah to try to get us the goal, I mean, that's just, you know, it's not good enough. I mean, he hasn't been bringing on Nketiah in games in the Premier League when we've needed goals, and suddenly he's going to bring him on in the Champions League. You know, Gabriel Jesus was out there diving for 30 minutes. You know, he was just awful, just pretty much offered nothing. And Trossard, it felt like, you know, he's one of our only players in form. It felt like he needed to come on earlier. We also had other players like Smith Rowe and Partey, who I was crying for Partey to come on earlier. He never even came on. So, you know, it does feel like Arteta has deficiencies in these cup competitions, and he gets outclassed by managers who have a lot more experience than him, who know how to manage their squad better. I mean, Tuchel was barely making substitutions, and when he did, it was, you know, defensive or offensive, but he was very, very tactical in these matchups, and it worked. He out-tacticked Arteta in this, and I hope he can learn from it. You know, I'm not like Arteta out or anything. I think our squad has improved from last season. I think we're harder to beat than we were last season. I think last season, at this point in the season, we'd already collapsed, you know? I don't think we've collapsed at this point. I think the Aston Villa game was a wake-up call. I think this Bayern Munich game, we played well. I think Bayern Munich were better than us. I think they deserve to go through. They had a bunch of chances in the first leg as well. They hit the post three times, you know? So,
can we just end on this? I don't think Bayern Munich are a better team than you guys.
No, they're not. But they were better than us over the two legs, I think.
The difference in the two legs was the two mistakes by Arsenal at the back that led to the two goals from Bayern in the first game. Because you guys scored the early goal. Saka looked, you know, unstoppable against Davies, like right from the beginning in that first leg. And then a giveaway from Raya and a penalty from Saliba flips the game on its head. And all of a sudden, Arsenal are chasing and can only get a draw out of the first leg. You needed to go into that second leg with the lead. It needed to be at least a 2-1 or a 2-0 win at home to set you guys up with the sort of buffer to go into that Bayern Munich game. You know, with 1-0, losing 1-0 isn't the end of the world. You would go through 2-1 or get it to extra time if it's 2-2 on aggregate. I think, but that kind of plays into what you're saying about how Arteta kind of mismanaged it. You know,
I think he mismanaged the first leg. I think he mismanaged the second leg. I didn't think we were ever going to win the Champions League. I think even if we went through here, it would have been actually like maybe worse, because there's no way we would have been able to beat. Yeah, we wouldn't have been able to beat Real Madrid over two legs. It would have been two huge games that would have taken, you know, a massive effort on our team if to try to get through. And we would have absolutely collapsed in our last six games of the season. Now, I mean, we have to win these last six games. That's it. That's all that's left for the season. So I want to see if we can do that. And I think we have the squad to do it. We have the players to do it. And I think we can do that. I'm not thinking that we're just going to collapse and not do well now in the league. I still have confidence in this team. I think we've still had good performances. I think we could easily won the Villa game. I think we could have won this Bayern game as well. But it was good performances. We fell off.
I think you're not quite realizing just yet is that there's at least one more of these performances coming for Arsenal. You know.
It might be. And the players are going to have to learn.
It's a good segue into Manchester City, who suffered like a similar, you know, not really an upset. It's always close when it's between Manchester City and Real Madrid. It went City's way in the league over the weekend, but they also got knocked out by a team in Real Madrid that they beat soundly last season, lost to Real Madrid the year before. So, you know, it was always.
What a great tie, by the way. That was
great tie.
I mean,
yeah.
Yeah, great tie between the two teams.
But they end up losing on penalties. So they don't even really lose. You know, they drew both legs. Real Madrid didn't beat them in either leg. They just, you know, got two draws and then beat them on penalties.
Rodri's unbeaten run has come to an end because they did lose that game.
Technically, but not like I don't consider like losses like on penalties.
It's a loss, dude.
Like,
it's a loss.
Okay.
You lost.
All right, they lost to Real Madrid in the second leg.
Yeah, they lost.
Barely, but they did lose. They're a team that we've seen go on a run like this to seal a Premier League title at the end of the season, and now they don't have any Champions League.
Can we talk
League
about those penalties, though? What was Bernardo
that?
Silva doing? That was wild.
I don't know what that was.
That was one of the worst penalties I've ever seen in like a penalty shootout. It almost felt like he like messed up his run-up or something, because he just like...
He didn't mess up
his shot
run-up.
Right at the keeper.
He just bet that Lunin would go diving one direction because he just put it straight down the middle and Lunin didn't
move. By the way, stone cold penalty from Ederson.
Yeah, great penalty.
To like keep City in that last,
And one thing I'll add on the penalty discussion.
Lunin is a great keeper.
Why would Pep Guardiola pick Mateo Kovacic to take a penalty.
Oh, that was crazy.
I didn't understand it in the moment. Maybe it's because
I saw him walk up
players.
And I was like, oh, he's missing this.
Yeah, I can't remember too many times at Chelsea where Kovacic took a penalty. Maybe he's taken them for Croatia before and scored, but it was an alarming decision, to say the least, from Pep Guardiola. And, you know, amongst others, ended costing them like a chance at another treble. But they've got, you know, a similar schedule to Arsenal, except they've got FA Cup games, including a semi-final coming up this weekend.
By the way,
Chelsea.
I want to say in that City game, Bellingham, Valverde, Camavinga.
You can win all
so
your
good.
Games, Javier. You can win all your games from now to the end of the season. City are winning the league. That's it. You needed
yeah,
to have
they
the,
probably are.
You needed to have... I'm so confident that I'll even say that I think City might drop points at least once, but I'm even more confident that Liverpool and Arsenal are definitely going to drop points between now and the end of the season. So...
Yeah,
they just
no,
handle
fair,
the pressure
also,
better than Arsenal specifically, and you know Liverpool. It
but
seems
Liverpool
like
also
now.
Collapsed. Yeah, Liverpool also we got to talk about because they've had a you know really bad week where they lost 3-0 in Europe to Atalanta, and then they
at
went
home.
At home. Yep, and then they went and lost again in the Premier League 2-1
to Crystal. No, 1-0 to Crystal Palace.
Sorry, 1-0. Yeah, 1-0 to Crystal Palace, which also. You know, everyone was giving that the easiest game of the season left for Liverpool. So they couldn't win the easiest game left, which was supposed to be Crystal Palace at home. Yeah, you got to think that these last few games are going to be a rough run, you know, with Klopp leaving. I'm sure players are going to get some sort of depression from that, and that's going to start hitting them, you know, that these are the last few games they're going to have with Klopp. So, you know, I always thought that they were going to fall off at some point, and I think it's happened now.
Yeah, I got to
turn
like
around the same
and
player.
Say you're right on that one because we'd made so much of that record of Liverpool having like the most points in the league from losing positions, and it seems like they've dug themselves like a few too many holes. You know, they went behind in that Manchester United game late, but they did go behind and ended up only drawing 2-2, and that's what pushed them off the top spot for Arsenal to take the lead. Then, you know, go behind in the first half against Atalanta, and all of a sudden, I mean, they were creating chances in the Atalanta game, but couldn't finish any of them, and then all of a sudden, Atalanta pile up a couple more, and it's all of a sudden, it's a humiliation at home in the Europa League, a conversation or a competition that they were like.
By the way, it could have been 6 or 7.
Yeah, absolutely.
Atalanta missed an unbelievable amount of sitters in that game, and still only the score was 3-0. So. You know, we'll see how that second leg goes. I'm not saying Liverpool are completely out of it. They have a really good attacking team, but
it's a season-defining night.
Pretty crazy.
If they sort of peter out in the Europa League, and they
that game's tomorrow, so
yeah, well, you guys will probably know the result by the time you listen to this. But if they peter out of the Europa League and then they've dropped points, a draw and a loss back to back in the Premier League, to kind of put themselves out of the. Not completely, but mostly out of the conversation for the title, then there's nothing else really to play for. And like you said, there's sort of the
depression I need a really strong performance from us against Wolves this weekend. We're playing Wolves away. That's not going to be an easy game, especially coming off of the week we've just had losing to Villa
also,
and Bayern Munich.
It's Saturday at 7:30 p.m. in England, 2:30 p.m. Here in the States.
Quick turnaround.
Well, no, it's not just that. It's that it's a night game at Molineux. There's games don't usually start at 7:30 or 8 p.m. on weekend nights. There's a few exceptions to that. It happens probably like
well,
three
good.
Or four
That'll
times
That'll give us
a
all
year.
Saturday to rest.
No, but I mean, it means that place is going to be all jacked up. They're going to have all day to drink and, you know, be nice and rambunctious for you to come in. And they've played well. They beat City there, beat us. That's not impressive, but they beat City there early in the season.
I'm not excited to go there.
If they're on form,
they're
dangerous to deal with on the counter. So
yeah, and they just got Cunha back from injury, and he's been, you know, playing well, so we'll see. But they did just lose 2-1 to West Ham at Molineux this last weekend, so that is a good sign for us.
Yeah, meanwhile, Liverpool are going to Fulham, another tough away game. That's going to be Sunday at 11:30 a.m. With Man City like busy with the FA Cup, playing Chelsea on Saturday afternoon and not playing again until next midweek in the league, it's very important for Liverpool and Arsenal to sort of put as much pressure on them as they can, not slip up in these two games. What would you say your score predictions are for both of these? Wolves-Arsenal on Saturday and Fulham-Liverpool on Sunday.
I'll say 2-1 Arsenal against Wolves. Maybe even 1-0. I think it'll be a close game, and it'll be very scary. And I think we'll concede a lot of, or some chances late, and it'll be a very scary game, but I think we'll just pull it through. And then Fulham-Liverpool, I'll say 2-2. I think the late Thursday game, Fulham have been great at home.
Yeah.
You know, I think they've shown that their mettle against big teams is there, and they've beaten us and drew us this season, so I think they'll draw with Liverpool here. I'll say 2-2.
I think that was the score when Liverpool and Fulham drew on like the opening day of last season, in that same fixture at Craven Cottage. So not a bad shout. I think I'm going to say 2-2 for the Wolves Arsenal game. And
oh, if we draw points against Wolves, obviously, yeah, the title race is over.
This is obviously a lot banking on how that Atalanta game goes tomorrow. I think it's a bit too much for Liverpool to overcome, and that depression you mentioned sets in, and they go to Craven Cottage and lose 3-1.
I like it. Yeah, I think it's going to be a real thing. Klopp leaving, all these players like not knowing about their future, calling their agents. This is going to be the time now. When,
I mean, that's already happening. There's
south.
Rumors about Van Dijk and Salah. Yeah, who knows? The other games I want to at least mention in terms of previews for this weekend, that Manchester City-Chelsea game in the FA Cup semi-final Saturday at 12:15 p.m. After Chelsea's resounding 6-0 win over relegation-threatened Everton, are you a believer at all that Chelsea can get a result out of this?
Against Arsenal? In the FA Cup.
In the FA Cup against Manchester City, Javier.
Oh, no, Alex. I don't.
Okay, good, because neither do I. Because when City got knocked out tonight...
City have a second team that they can play that they didn't play tonight, that they can play, you know, for you guys, and they'll still beat you with that team, so...
Yeah, I mean, to be fair, we have played them well this season in the Premier League.
You have.
Two draws. Not many teams can say that.
We do need to be fair, because Chelsea have stepped up when in the league when they've played against some of the bigger teams. But I do think that for City, they're going to want to, you know, wrap up a double here, win the FA Cup. They can see an easy route in the final to victory. So this is just, you know, the last hump that they need to get over. An informed Chelsea team. You guys are unbeaten in seven in the league.
Eight
in the league. Three of those were draws that you probably should have won.
No, four wins and four draws.
Three of those were draws against Burnley, Sheffield, and Luton?
No, we've beaten Luton twice.
Who was the other team you drew?
Brentford away. We drew Brentford, Burnley, and Sheffield 2-2. And in one of those games, right, it was Burnley at home, and they were down a man for the second half of the game. So, yeah, there were very disappointing results there. You know, we finally had a breakthrough shellacking, if you may, in the league this season with 6-0, by far like our biggest win in the league under Pochettino. Had a couple 5 or 4 nils in the cup against championship teams, but this was a pretty big breakthrough. But it's a whole other thing to play against a ticked-off Manchester City team that's just been knocked out of the Champions League, barely. And another thing I have to mention when it comes to playing City at Wembley is the pitch. The pitch is so much bigger than pretty much any other place you're going to play in England, and that just favors City. Like, we've played teams like Liverpool at Wembley before, and they're kind of similar to us, or Klopp is similar in that, like, he wants to play in a smaller pitch where he can condense the space and stop you from playing out from the back. City don't give a crap about that, because the more space, the merrier for them. They can just spread their wingers even further wide than they usually do and have De Bruyne and Bernardo Silva and Foden or whoever just hit those little channels in between the wings and Haaland in the middle. And for us defensively, that's going to be a nightmare. I think we may hang in it for a half, but then I think City
pulled away
in the second half.
They did play 120 minutes, so you know, I think there could be some factor.
Maybe they rest De Bruyne and bring him in the second half, and they maybe rest Haaland and start Alvarez, bring him in the second half. That's a perfectly viable strategy.
No, they took off Haaland. They took off, which also was kind of bizarre to me that he took off Haaland. especially when it looked like it was going to go to penalties. I don't know. It was some weird decisions to me from Guardiola in that Champions League final. I think he threw it away. It's the reason why he's, you know, only won one Champions League with City in 8 years.
Okay.
You know, he does do some.
To be fair, when that Champions League
you
win is also part of a treble, it kind of, you know, you can't really bring that up to like wave in his face because it's like the greatest achievement of his managerial career next to when he did it at Barcelona. So I don't know. What I'm trying to say is they're going to beat Chelsea on Saturday. Hopefully it's not by too much. Hopefully we don't get embarrassed. And then most likely it sets up for a second Manchester derby in a row in the final of the FA Cup because Manchester United are going to play commentary.
I think it's going to be cagey, and I'll say City win 2-1.
Okay. I'll say 3-1. I think it's cagey for most of it, and then the last 30 minutes City pull away with a couple goals. So,
are we not going to talk about the goal score bowl on Wednesday, Alex?
Well, let's hope.
It's
game
week.
Let's try and record on either Sunday night or Monday night, and we'll get that out to the people before the game on Tuesday.
All right,
that brings us to Javier's Fantasy Kitchen. What have you got for us this week, Javier? Like you said, double game week, a lot of movement going to be necessary if you want a chance in your leagues in Fantasy
Premier
League.
Yeah, I was going to say, I'm planning on using my wild card in this game week because there doesn't seem to be many other good opportunities. I mean, it's either this one or in game week 37. But I would say if you want a wild card now to set yourself up for game week 37, it's a good, game week 37 is a double game week. And then this game week's a double game week 34. So, you know, there's a lot of good assets that you want to have in this game week, mainly, you know, Liverpool players, Arsenal players. And this brings me to my appetizer, Crystal Palace players, Alex. I think the best player right now for Crystal Palace, the best asset, is going to be Eberechi Eze. He's 6 million midfielder. You know, Crystal Palace have a good run of games to end the season. Out of their last six games, they have four home games. This double game week is home West Ham, home Newcastle. So, you know, they could definitely get some goals. You know, not necessarily they're going to win in these games, but, you know, you could definitely see them there being a lot of goals against leaky West Ham and Newcastle teams. Then they have Fulham away, Manchester United leaky at home, Wolves away, and Aston Villa at home. So, you know, they're playing some upper table, fifth through 10th place opposition, but they're known to do well in those games, especially at home. So I recommend getting Eze in for this game week as like a cheap midfielder who, you know, he was running things in that Liverpool game. He looked like their best player and he's the most important player on the pitch. I think he's also on penalties. So I would get him. And for the main course, this is someone who I've been holding deep close to my chest, watching him intently, and now I want to bring him up because it feels like it's the time. Bruno Fernandes, he's a fantasy royalty. It feels like he hasn't had a good vein of form in about a year and a half where he's been, you know, the main goal scorer and creator for the team. And this season, he hasn't really had, you know, he had a couple of spurts earlier in the season where he was getting some goals, but he's really fallen off until recently. You know, he looks like the only player on the pitch who cares for Manchester United right now. And he's been killing it. You know, he's in his last five games, he's gotten five goals in his last five games. You know, he had a couple of assists before that. So he has a run of right now of seven out of his last eight game weeks that he's gotten points in. He only blanked in that Brentford game, and then he's had a bunch of double digit, you know, 11 points against Everton, 12, 15 against Bournemouth, 9 against Liverpool, 8 against Chelsea. So even if Manchester United aren't getting the results, he's the one, the catalyst right now. He's, you know, the main focal point of attacking, and he's back on penalties. It looks like he's the penalty taker at Manchester United right now. I think that's going to be one of the main avenues for United to be getting points for till the end of the season right now. And they're in a race for that top six. So they still have something to play for. And they definitely want to be in Europe in next season. You know, I know it's really important for Manchester United with all the sponsors and everything. So yeah, lots still to play for this United team. It seems like Villa have been dropping points. Tottenham have been dropping points. You know, Chelsea are coming up right behind them. You know, they really need to.
If I had told you a few weeks ago that Chelsea would be 3 points behind Manchester United with a game in hand, with
six
games
to go.
Like, I wouldn't have
believed
you.
People were talking about Manchester United for top four and all this, you know, around February when they were going on that good run.
That's been gone for weeks.
It was ridiculous.
That's been gone for weeks.
Of course, it's been gone for weeks. But ever since they lost to Fulham and Brentford and that terrible Brentford draw, and then lost to you guys. I mean, but it looks like they're slightly turning it around. They drew against Liverpool, and then the 2-2 against Bournemouth wasn't great, but.
Well, you know what will seal Ten Hag being fired? He's probably going to be fired anyway, but you know what's going to seal it? If they lose to Coventry in the FA Cup semi-final this weekend. Which, Coventry had taken some scalps. I'm not going to predict it. I think it's going to be Manchester City versus Manchester United, but United have shown us that they are capable of an absolute mare of a performance, even against far worse sides than them.
Let me just tell you guys, United scheduled to end the season. They've got their next few games. Why I would bring in Bruno even for this double game week is he has Sheffield United at home as his next fixture. Then he has Burnley at home. So the bottom two teams at home are the next two fixtures for United. And then they have Crystal Palace away. Then they have a double game week, Arsenal at home, Newcastle at home, and to finish the season, Brighton away. So some pretty easy matchups. They have a double game week to end the season, so I would bring in Bruno Fernandes or Alejandro Garnacho. Both are good assets to bring in.
Have Garnacho be
if you want the cheaper. He can be the dessert. Even though as an Arsenal fan, we don't deserve dessert today with that performance. Alex is going to provide dessert for you guys. I think he's saying Garnacho can
be
it.
Dulce de leche for you.
Right. Yeah, there you go.
That's Argentine, right? Or is it just?
I think
it's many South American
either
countries.
Bolivian or Peruvian, something like that. I'm sure everyone will claim it's theirs.
Yeah. They all have their own version they claim.
Cole Palmer, Alex. You got to give him a shout out because he is this season's fantasy just absolute standout.
Yeah, if you don't
he has
have
as many
him,
goals as Haaland.
Yeah, he's tied for the lead at the top of the league.
He has 20 goals and 10 assists. What is going on, Alex?
And honestly, while most of
Where
his
did
goals
Cole
have
Palmer
been penalties, I think this Everton quadruple that he scored on Monday, I think the first goal in particular seals it. No one can call him just a penalty merchant.
Do you think City are absolutely
merchant.
Just bollocking, raging right now?
Yeah, I mean, maybe. But, they also let Raheem Sterling go to us for $45 million. I'm sure they're, it evens that one out, Javier. We got Palmer for $40 million and we got Raheem for $45 million. We're even now.
Palmer's only owned by 46.8% of fantasy. That's wild.
He was, $5 million or something at the beginning of the season? Or like when
he's 6.2
everyone first
now,
picked him up?
But
yeah.
Yeah. I've had him for the whole season.
I'm sick of
much.
These Penn merchant allegations, Javier. That first goal against Everton on Monday, I think, shows it. Just the combination with Jackson and then the first-time finish into the bottom corner with his left foot. Bury the allegations, Javier. Yes, he scores a lot of penalties. That's because we get awarded more penalties than any team in the league. He's just taking advantage of that, so...
Yeah, your next Premier League game is Arsenal, so let's see if your unbeaten run comes to an end, Alex.
Cold Palmer. It's getting chilly. Do you feel the temperature dropping at the Emirates, Javier?
I could see him scoring.
It's dropping.
At the Emirates.
Oh, God, here he comes.
But we'll
it's going to be like
a
Death Eater scene from Harry Potter where everything just starts turning to ice around you.
Thankfully,
and
Alex,
Cole Palmer
your goalie
in.
Is garbage, so we're going to take a lot of shots and we're going to score.
All right, let's call it there. A little shorter than usual, but that'll make editing easier for me. Javier? I was about to say sorry for this week in Arsenal, but I'm not.
I'll
send you more pictures of the sweet, precious baby Connie to brighten your day. That's what's helped me when Chelsea have bad results. God, so just Alex. The little golden
it's
retriever
okay.
puppy.
You know what? I'm okay. We're way better than we were two seasons ago. So I'm in an okay place. We're still in the title race. It's not over.
Sure you are.
We're 2 points behind them with six games to go.
Dun,
we're in the
dun,
yeah, but it was
dun,
way worse last season.
They're coming, dude. They have nothing else to
I
focus on
coming.
But the league. I'm sorry.
But let me see if they can just banana slip, maybe once. And we'll be there, hopefully.
Nah,
hopefully.
You won't. You'll choke.
It's a big hope.
If you want to follow Javier on Twitter, you can follow him at JavierRev9. You can follow me on Twitter and Instagram at ASMoss92. You can follow the podcast socials at Ghost Goal Pod. Enjoy the FA Cup and Premier League matches this weekend. And until next time, see ya.